in the morning chanting, the verses of gratitude and respect to the Triple Gem, and the passages to arouse urgency. These contain the key teachings, the essential principles of Dhamma that encompass most of what we need, most of the information that we need as human beings in order to transform dukkha, dissatisfaction, incompleteness, discontent, into wisdom, to help transform the experience of this life from one of insecurity, alienation, discontent, anxiety, to one of ease and freedom. In the second part of that chanting, we recite it every day, can see it begins with the reflections upon dukkha in its most coarse and tangible forms, what's called dukkha-dukkha, painful feelings. Birth is dukkha, aging is dukkha, death is dukkha. So this is a way of describing the painful experiences of our life that we meet with on a very worldly level. Physical pain, emotional difficulty, separation from what we like, association with what we dislike. This is what they call dukkha-dukkha, the unsatisfactoriness of painful feelings, the disliked, the unpleasant. So we start at what is most obvious, what is most tangible. This is where we begin the transformation, the starting point for awareness. Why is life less than totally blissful all the time? If there is none, an ultimate reality, an unborn, unoriginated, uncreated, unformed, that's the fundamental reality of all things. Why are we not blissfully happy all of the time? Why is there dukkha? Where does it come from? This is where the investigation begins. Dukkha, dukkha. Birth, aging, sickness, death. That aching knee, that sore back, that unresolved doubt, difficult relationship, dislike of the weather, whatever it might be, dukkha, dukkha. Then it moves into a more refined quality of dissatisfaction, as this feeling of discontent, incompleteness, is explored. The awareness is brought to these feelings, and a more subtle quality of dissatisfaction is awakened to. Panchupadana kanta dukkha, the five focuses of the grasping mind are dukkha. So this is the world of things in itself, not just painful experiences, loss of what we love, having to be with what we don't love, but just the presence of things, material form, feelings, perceptions, mental formations, discriminative consciousness. Why would the five khandhas be intrinsically unsatisfactory? So this is a more subtle kind of dissatisfaction called sankhara dukkha. the disappointing quality, the unsatisfactory quality of all conditioned things. Why is that? Why should the very thingness of the body, the material world, thoughts, feelings, emotions, memories, ideas, why should these be intrinsically unsatisfactory? What is that about? Now, in the exploration, developing the quality of wise reflection, investigation, begins to be realized that anythingness is in and of itself a mistake. There aren't really any things. There are processes, patterns of organic change. You can say this is a building, it's the Amravati temple, it's here, it's a thing. But really it's a process. The oak pillars came from one place, the limestone floor tiles came from another place, the concrete and steel came from other places. Put it all together with glass and door handles, window frames, door frames, beams and tiles, and we say building. And it'll be here for 100 years, 500 years, maybe 1,000 years. But it's a fluid process. Eventually it'll fall to pieces, come apart. These pieces that have arrived will go their separate ways. They have to. It's not a thing. It's a flow of processes, just like this body, these words, these thoughts, these emotions. So to call it a thing, a fixed and independent entity, is going against the reality. It's not the truth. Therefore, when the mind tries to make a thing, a me, this is mine, this is solid, this is independent, this is real, it has to be in error. It has to be a mistake. When we say building or person, Sunday morning, Amravati, these are convenient fictions. They're not fixed realities. So, sabbe sankhara dukkha, all conditioned things are unsatisfactory. Panchupadana kantha dukkha, the five focuses of the grasping mind are dukkha. The dukkha, the dissatisfaction, lies in their very apparent thingness. When the mind doesn't give any false solidity, any false substantiality to these fluid organic processes, these patterns of change, then it doesn't create dukkha around them. It's not creating the world of things. It's more awake to the asankhata, the unconditioned, attuned to that fundamental, timeless reality. So in those morning reflections, it starts off with the coarse aspect of dukkha, then the refined aspect of dukkha, and then to support that quality of insight, there's the investigation of those five khandhas. Okay, we say that they're unsatisfactory. How is that? Why is that? Because they're all in a state of transformation. Rupang anicchang, material form, the body, is in a state of change. It's uncertain. Vedana, feelings, sensations. Sanya, what we see, hear, smell, taste, touch, think. all in a state of change. Emotions, memories, ideas. Mental formations, constantly. Evanescent, fluid, transparent. And discriminative consciousness itself, that vijnana, the building blocks of experience, the little pixels of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, thinking, cognizing. The individual mental flashes that go together to make up a color, a form, a sound, a taste, a smell, a memory, an emotion, liking, disliking, gaining, losing, happy, unhappy, all built up out of these different kinds of discriminative consciousness, eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose, tongue, body, mind consciousness. So that insight, the awakening, the opening of the heart to the unconditioned is then supported by developing this appreciation of uncertainty, of fluidity. So in these early morning chanting, in these words, that insight is developed, looking at the quality of change, fluidity, transformation. And then finally, underscoring that insight, opening the heart completely to it by developing the perspective of not self. There is this body, it really seems to be a me, but rupang anatta. The body is not self. Vedana anatta. Feelings, sensations are not self. Perceptions, mental formations, discriminative consciousness, sense consciousness. Using the reflection of not self, it's not trying to create a fresh belief that, you know, I don't exist or, you know, I'm not real. Anicca, dukkha, and anatta are not a belief system, but they're tools. They're a toolkit to explore the habits of experience. This body really seems to be a me. So we take the reflection, rupang anatta. The body is not self. To explore that feeling of me-ness, I-ness. This is my body. I am the owner. That's the feeling. But to reflect upon rupang anatta, then we take that feeling and explore. So if this is my body, what's the me that does the owning? What shape is it? Where is it? Does it have an age, a gender, a name? Does it have any material form? What is it? Where is it? Is it? Though we're using the capacity for wise reflection, investigation, to open up, to explore the habits of attitude, the ordinary everyday ways that the mind takes hold of feeling, perception, thought, memory, to challenge those assumptions. If this is my body, what's the thing here that does the owning? If all things are in a state of change and there isn't any real thing that is definable, what could there be that owns anything? What could be owned, and what is there here that could genuinely own anything? And we're not looking for conceptual answers, but rather using this kind of investigation to challenge the habits of thinking, of attitude, and let those old habits fall away, even if it's just for a moment. That instant of, oh, what is there that can be owned, and who is there that can really own anything? Oh. In that moment, the intuitive wisdom of the citta, the quality of mindfulness and wisdom, knows the fact, knows the reality. There is no thing can be owned and no thing that could own it. Every aspect of subject and object, these are all patterns of nature, attributes of the natural order. They are Dhamma Jati, born of the Dhamma. Patterns of nature, arising, taking shape, dissolving. It's not a person, doesn't belong to a person. This which knows the personal isn't a person. It's awake, aware. There's a knowing. But that knowing is not an I, not a me, not a mine, not a person, not old, not young, not tall, not short, not female or male or anything in between. Age, location, gender, name, nationality, none of these apply. Language doesn't apply. So too with the other reflections on anatta. Feelings are not self, perceptions are not self, mental formations are not self, sense consciousness is not self. Use these reflections to challenge the habits of mind, my thoughts, my feelings, my practice, my success, my failure, my problems, my gifts, my defilements. Not to try and create a new, special, perfect me in our thoughts, but to let go of what we're not. What remains is the reality of this present moment, known by the awake mind. This quality doesn't need defining or owning. Here it is. This which is aware is Dhamma itself, knowing its own nature. Here it is.